Praise the Lord, each and every day. All right. You know, last Sunday we talked about three things. Talked about three things about God. And we said that God is able. He is always able. He is above all things. He's the maker of all things. He is well able to do anything that he chooses to do. And then we talked about God being willing. Not only is he able to do it, but he is willing to do it for you. When you show that obedience, that humbleness, that reverence, and that willingness to do something for him. He is willing to help you. And then we talked about him being here. You know, Scripture talks about his presence. It said in one place that the Lord's presence was there to heal. The Lord's presence is what draws you to him. Lest you be drawn of the Spirit of God, you will not come. I don't know about y'all, but I was drawn by the Spirit of God the day that I got saved. I was drawn by him. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. But you know something? I had to surrender. Each one of us has to do our part, and our part to salvation is we must surrender. We must surrender. So, because he loves you is the why he is able, he is willing, and he is here. It's because he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with a love that you, in physical, carnal terms, we're barely able even to understand that kind of love that covers everything. You know, we as human beings, we have, and in a carnal thinking, we have things that we love, some things more than others. You think about that. There are some things that we just love to do, and there are some things that we hate to do. We don't love everything, but can I tell you something? God loves it all. He loves it all. Everything about him loves. Now, he is willing to discipline, and he does. I know about that firsthand. He's willing to talk to you on the terms that you need to be talked to. But that doesn't mean that he don't love you. In fact, he loves you enough to tell you. Because he could just thump you in the head and you'd be gone. Because I know he is that powerful. I read in his word, he is that powerful. He can speak and mountains are moved. He can speak and the world is formed. He can speak. Just his word is more powerful than any action that he's ever taken. Listen to that. Think of all the things that he did just so you would have a place to be. And he did it all by speaking it. So having said that, you know that God is known by many names. God is known by many names. I just did a funeral service here the other day. Guy that had been in the Marine Corps, Vietnam. He suffered much in his body. Agent Orange was the problem. But the one thing about his life, his wife, although she was grieving, she was excited about him being a believer. She was excited about, you know, finally he's not suffering anymore. He has gone home. He is healed. But he was also introduced to me, and we had a good time talking. I mean, she in her grief, she was still happy about those things. And she was happy about his life that reached out and touched other people. But one of the first things she told me about him was he was a man of many names. A man of many names. If you were part of the family, if you were part of the close friendship and kinship, his name was actually Lauren, L-A-U-R-I-N. Now you know why they didn't call him Lauren. Lauren Queston was his middle name, Q-U-E-S-T-O-N, without the I, not question, but Queston. Lauren Queston. How many of y'all know that has a name like that? It's no wonder he was a man of many other names. Actually, if you knew him as a family, his name was Wizzy. His name was Wizzy. If you knew him as a good friend, he was Bucky. If you knew him even on a more intimate basis, his name was Dude. And if you were a grandchild, he was Grand Dude. I've never heard that ever called before. Never. And I've done lots of services with lots of grandfathers, with lots of grandchildren. I've heard all kinds of handles that they had for them. But Wizzy and Bucky and Dude and Grand Dude. But it depended on how you knew him as to what name that you called him. Well, you see, we serve a God that has had many names. A God that has had many names. Listen to Exodus 6, verse 2. God speaking to Moses there, and he says, I am the Lord. Exodus 6, verse 2. 2 and 3. God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. And he had appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But he appeared to Moses as I am the Lord. See, there's a difference here. There's a difference here. God or Jehovah, see, there are many, many attachments to Jehovah. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But he is a God of many names depending on how you know him. So he was God Almighty to the patriarchs. But he became much more personable to the Israelites, who were to be his chosen people under Moses. Think about it. He became I am. He took a little bit step closer to them. Now, I'm not disregarding those patriarchs that knew him on a face-to-face basis. I'm not disregarding them because there were a few, but not all. But there were a few. Same thing in Moses' case. Moses, he embraced I am. He embraced the Lord. But see, when he spoke with thunders and lightnings, what happened to the Israelites? They wanted to run the other way. They said, no, Moses, you go talk to him. He's too fearful. You go talk to him. So Moses knew him in a much more intimate way, face to face, speaking with him. You see, that to know the Lord as I am, they called him Yahweh. Now, Yahweh was such a sacred name in the scripture that they would not even spell it all out because there was such reverence and fear. It was an awesome presence that came with that name that they had just stepped one step closer to him in relationship with him. Instead of spelling it all out, they just spelled it with just a few letters. YHWH, that was Yahweh, when there's more letters to Yahweh. They also called him Adonai. You see, it depends on how they knew him. Now, I want you to think about this. Depends on how you know God as to what you will call God. They knew him as Adonai. You know, they also knew him as Elohim. Elohim. He's my supplier. He is the one who, how can I say it? He supplies everything. There's another way of saying it. Hang on just a minute. He is also the God of strength and everlasting strength. He is the God that supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, Elohim is a God of more than enough. Do you know him that way in your heart and life? Do you know him as the God Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, the God that is more than enough? You see, most of us do not think about serving God in that way, about who he actually is. We can talk about him in Scripture. We can go on missions trips. I've been on many of them. We can go on missions. We can work in our community. We can work in the church. But when is the last time you thought about who God is to you? Think about it. When is the last time you've really thought about who God is to you? What about him makes you tick? What is it about him that makes you go and keep pushing forward and put yourself into things maybe that you didn't particularly want to do, but you knew that he wanted you to do them? When's the last time you did that? I dare say most of us have not. We have not thought about him in that way. In Exodus 3:14 says, when the children of Israel asked, Moses is talking to God, and he says, when they ask you, you just tell them, I am sent me. Say, what is this God's name? See, they didn't even know him. They just knew that there was a God out there. But who is this God that sent you? I am. I am that I am. I am who I am. I was here always. I have never not been here. That is I am. The creator of all things. The patriarchs knew him as Jehovah God Almighty. Moses and the children of Israel knew him as Yahweh or I Am. Most High God, Psalms 83:18. The Most High God. You know, Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. That was in the day of Abraham. Because Abraham gave a tithe. You see, all of these knew him just a little bit differently, but it was the same God. They all knew him by a little bit different name that was more or less in relationship to him, but it was the same God. So how do you know him today? We're going to get to that in just a minute. I'm glad you asked me. Isaiah 12:2 says that he is our strength and our everlasting strength. He is the one that goes before us. He is the one that covers us. He is the one that we can run to. So he knew him as the strength and everlasting strength. Genesis 22:14, he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Have you had him provide for you in your life when you didn't know where it was coming from? Because you served him and he met your need. My Jehovah Jireh. He, in Exodus 17, 15, he was Jehovah Nissi, my protector. You know, I don't know all the times that God has protected me because I didn't run into the problem. That's just like talking about God on your recorder, on your voicemail. What a better time to witness to somebody. Some of y'all in here, y'all may have called my phone before and you had to listen to my voicemail. Well, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. And if you want to leave me a message after you listen to me, that's fine, but you don't have to. I've had people ask me, say, well, you may be losing business because you're witnessing on your voicemail. But that was back when the phones were all tied to the wall and you had to answer your answering machine, you know. And I said, well, I never knew that I missed any of them because they didn't leave a message. You see, I never missed a meal or a bill. I've always had a good time serving him because I didn't worry about what I wasn't doing. I was pushing forward to what I could do because I knew him as my provider. I knew him as my protector. I had seen him work in my life and in my heart. I owed him a lot. I owe him my life. To me, that's a lot. And then over in Judges 6:24, he's known as Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of my peace. He is the one that brings peace into me that passes all understanding. He brings a peace into my heart that no one else can see in my heart, but they can see it come out of me in the way that I act and react to things. How do you know him today? Do you know him all these ways? Because if you don't, you need to. And I'm going to show you how you can do that here in just a moment. You need to know him these ways. You need to know him as Jehovah Elohim, the God of more than enough. And then they, instead of Yahweh, a lot of times they would say Jehovah Adonai or Jehovah El Shaddai. Because that his name was so sacred that they would not even speak that name. And when they wrote it down, like I told you, they would just write down a few of the letters. They would never wrote a vowel in there in that name. It was only the consonants of that name. That's how sacred that name was to them. So they constantly bowed down before him in thought and in deed. But they knew him as God. He was God. How do you know him? You see, he was not just God, but he was God of all things. And they worshiped him. They held him in high reverence. Is this how you know him today? Do you know him as the God of all things, the ruler and the maker of all things? Do you know him as God? Do you just know about him? Or do you know him? See, there's a big difference. The demons and devils in hell know God. They know about God, but they don't know him. They don't serve him. They don't worship him. Only a few in the Old Testament knew him face to face, up close and personal. Is he a personal God to you? Is he a personal God? See, only you can answer these questions. Is he a personal God? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Have you ever drawn so close to him that you could feel his breath upon your neck? Have you drawn close enough to him to feel the warmth of his embrace? Do you know him in that intimate way? Or is he just some God that's far off that you kind of talk to every once in a while? I didn't think I was going to get any amens. Do you know him on the first name basis? You see, I know who the president is. I know his name. I've seen pictures of him. I've heard him speak over the TV. But I don't know him. I have never seen God. I've seen the things of God. I know how he speaks to me in my spirit. I know how he does that. But I've never seen him other than in his creation, in his people. You see, I know him, though. I know him, and the way I know him is through Jesus. For even Jesus said, if you say you know God, then you know me, and if you say you know me, then you know God. You see, but God, Jehovah, Yahweh, I am, he revealed himself to me through Jesus, and I have the privilege of knowing him as my Father. You think about that. He may be God, but he's my Father. He is the one that I can turn to with anything. I can go to him as my father. You know, I had a greatest earthly father. My father raised us up to be good, moral, upstanding, hardworking, all of the good things that you can think about that you would want to pass on to your children. My earthly father was great. I love my earthly father. I still quote things today that my earthly father told me from many years ago. Things that made an impression upon my heart and upon my life. Can I tell you that when you know God as your father, this right here is what will come out of you. Because he speaks these things into our heart and our lives to strengthen us, to guide us, to direct us. He's not a God up there with a big club in his hand, ready to whoop you over the head if you make a mistake. No, he reaches down gently and picks you up because he is your father. He's your father. You think about that. Think about what fathers should be in the family. Are they not the protectors? Are they not the providers? Are they not the ones that the children can go to at any time, day or night? How many of y'all ever sat up? I had the greatest dad, greatest father. I remember just as little kids, we would all jump in my dad's lap, and he was a printer for the Houston Chronicle, which is an ancient trade anymore. They don't even have the printing machines anymore. But he was a printer. And y'all remember the funny papers that used to come out in the... Man, we would have... He'd have four of us sitting in his lap reading the funny papers. Such good memory. Such good closeness in relationship. Is that how you have your Father which is in heaven? How much closer should you draw to him, the one that allowed his only son to be crucified for you? Do you think of him as your father? You see, my heavenly father, I can commune with him all the time. My earthly father is gone. I have good memories, but not conversations. I can remember the conversations, But that all passed. But my conversations with the Lord, each and every day, each and every day with my Father in heaven. Do you know Him that way today? See, I want to revolutionize your thinking about who you serve. It makes a difference. You see, He's not going to make you do anything, although you've heard me say He may make you wish you had a. You know something? My Father expected things out of us. Do you know that your Heavenly Father expects things out of you? He has all the commandments and His guidelines. He has all of these things in the book for us to follow. But we should follow it as following a loving Father, because He loves us even when we don't love Him. He loves us even when we do wrong, even when we think wrong. He still loves us. Do you need Him as your Father today? You know, not everyone has the best experience with their earthly fathers. Not everyone does. And that's highly unfortunate, because it ought not be. But I'm going to tell you what, there is my Father which is in heaven. And He's the best experience that you'll ever have. He'll never hurt you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He always has your best interest in mind. What a great Father. A Father above all fathers. Won't you stand to your feet with me? I'm going to tell you what, if you need that kind of relationship with God as your Father, I want you to come this morning. I want you to come and talk with Him. You see, because we need Him. We need Him as a Father figure in our lives. He's the one that will direct us. He'll keep us when no one else can. I don't know about y'all, but I had some rebellion times. Probably more than maybe than some, and maybe less than a few. But you know something? My God in heaven, my Father in heaven, He loved me all the way through it. He was still waiting for me the day I surrendered. He was still waiting for me the day that I said, okay, Lord, I give up on myself. I need You. I need You. I have to have You. Because I cannot do this on my own. I've made a pretty good mess out of what I have done, and I know that I can't do this. Anybody come today? I'm going to tell you what, let me challenge you. If you're not going to come to these altars, I want you to make yourself a place. I want you to make yourself a time to get to know Him as your Father. Not just as God, not just as provider, not just as protector, not just as the one who can give you that peace in your heart, but to know Him as Father, the one that can hold you in His arms. I don't know about y'all, but that's the best feeling that I ever had, the first time I ever felt that, Him hold me in His arms. But I'm going to truthfully tell you, unless you draw real close to Him, you'll never feel that. It's just like I can't hold Lily in my arms unless I get close to her. I can't do it at arm's length. I've got to get close. Let's have a closer walk with our Father in heaven. When you hear the Lord's Prayer, you need to make that prayer precious to you and personal to you. Make it personal to you. I want you to think about something today. And besides this is not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer, because they asked the Lord, said, teach us how to pray. In the scripture it says, our Father. Well, let me challenge you to do something. Yeah, come on. Let me challenge you to do something. Start thinking about Him as your Father and say, my Father. My Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, okay? On earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive others of theirs. Can I tell you that unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven? Come on. I'm just telling you what God says. I'm just telling you what the Father says. These are things that the Father is adamant about. You see, that is a make or break situation. Only way you're going to make it in is if you're forgiven. And He's the one that forgives. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive others. Don't let me fall into temptation. Don't let me fall. You know, temptation is everywhere around us, but the Father can protect you from that if you will allow Him to. If you will allow Him to. You're the one that has to do part of this. But deliver me from the evil one. Did you know that that is the job of the Father? Is to deliver you? Just think about it, dads. How many times have you ever stepped up for a child? Right, wrong, or indifferent? How many times have you just stepped up for them? That is the way our Father in heaven is about everything about us, about our lives. Our Father in heaven. Man. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Does that cover it all? Is that not eternity? We have such a finite time while we're here. Let's be about the Father's business. Remember what Jesus told them? Did you not know that I needed to be about my Father's business? Not the Father, but my Father. My Father. He's mine. He's my Father. Let's grab a hold of Him in the future, folks. From this day forward, I pray that you never look at God in the same way. If you can catch a burning in your heart the same way it caught a burning in my heart, you'll never look at Him the same way ever again. You'll never look at your brother Jesus ever the same way again. Because can I tell you that you're family? You are family, and He is your Father.